Welcome to A Different Way of Traveling. This is a podcast where we discuss travel for persons with disabilities and special needs in South Africa and beyond with our host, Lois Strachan. Join us as we share inspiring stories of people who travel, exciting, accessible travel experiences, and showcase service providers who will accommodate those with special needs. And now, on with the show.
Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Traveling, a podcast on accessible travel brought to you by Accessible South Africa. I'm your host, Lois Strachan. Today we're chatting to Kaylee Mycroft, who's an ability activist based in Cape Town in South Africa. We chat about a number of different topics related to accessible travel, and primarily Kaylee's trip up Mount Kilimanjaro, which is the highest mountain peak on the African continent. Let's dive straight into that interview. Today on A Different Way of Traveling, we're chatting to Kaylee Mycroft, who's one of our shining stars in South Africa in terms of showing people what we can achieve despite our disabilities. Kaylee's done a huge amount of work in the advocacy and activism worlds, and in fact, she calls herself an ability activist, which I absolutely love. Kaylee, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and sharing some of your stories with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, we're really excited to have you with us as well. And it's going to be great to share some of your insights and your stories with our listeners. For the possibly one or two people who don't know you, can you just introduce yourself to our listeners and just share a little bit of your story with us?
Yeah, so hi, I'm Kaylee Mycroft. I'm 25 now. I was born with cerebral palsy, and so I've always lived my life as a disabled person, but I've never been allowed to have that dictate whether I do something or don't do something. It's never been allowed to be something that limits my activities. It's never been allowed to be an excuse. And so that's how I go in my life, is just that my disability is a part of what I do, but it doesn't have the biggest voice in the room. Things about me. Okay. I am currently doing my PhD at the University of Cape Town. Really like being active and doing fitness things like CrossFit and running and cycling, and my friends have convinced me to do triathlons now, so I'm gonna to those, I'm terrified. But I think obviously I'm an activist. I think as a disabled person, you have to kind of, you have to be an advocate and an activist if you want to get your rights. So, it's just been ingrained into me, my heart, that I have a voice, and that I should be using it to get awareness and to help not only myself but other people to gain access to experiences and the rights that we have as human beings. I think that's
I think it's you're so right, because it's so many people with disabilities or who are differently abled feel that we don't have a voice. And being able to influence people, particularly young people, to know that they still have the ability to be heard and to demand the rights that should be ours is such an important role. So thank you for doing the work that you do. Okay, so this is a travel podcast. But so let's get into the concept of travel. Where have you traveled to in some of the work that you've done?
So I get asked to do a fair amount of speaking at different conferences, and they happen all over the world, and people pay for me to get to those places. So I've been very lucky in that I've had the opportunity to go to different cities. I've been to different places in Europe, like Amsterdam and France. Looking at this now, it's like, I've been to Costa Rica, that was amazing. I love Costa Rica. Barcelona, all over the place. And I'd really like to see more of Africa. I want to go kind of closer to home. That would be really cool. But I'm very keen for all of this. I don't think that my disability should limit where, like, what I see in the world, because it's there to be discovered.
Absolutely, I so agree with you. Now, I happen to know that you have a service dog. Do you take your dog with you on your travels, or does she get to stay here in South Africa?
So, I'm allowed to take her. I don't take her everywhere. I do more of the domestic trips with her. So when we go up to Joburg or to Durban, she'll come with me. But when we do the big international trip, she stays home. She gets time off. But she's amazing on a plane. She knows exactly when she needs to show off her skills and her manners. She behaves like the best dog you've ever seen.
I think they all do. I think we all have stories of our guide and service dogs performing like beautiful children when they're in public and being absolute horrors sometimes when they're back at home. Okay, so you've also done a fair amount of traveling in your advocacy work.
Yeah.
So can you tell us some of the experiences that you've had as a result of that activism and the work that you've done raising awareness? Kind of places you've been and some of the things that you've done.
Yeah. So I've met some incredible people. I've been able to speak at different conferences, been able to connect with different groups of young people. I think the biggest thing in my work, I guess, is that I really love connecting with people and just having conversations and being able to share some experiences that we've had, because I feel like that's the best way to create knowledge for other people, is sharing the knowledge that we gained through living with these things. And you know, as an activist, I've received awards from the Children's Peace Prize and the Nobel things are made of for activism. But the thing that for me is that what the awards do is not, it's not about elevating me or my name. It's about elevating the work and the message that we're trying to spread. And, with that, I think that's the most important thing. But I also approach every experience I have is an advocacy moment and an opportunity to educate people. And traveling is just as much an opportunity to educate people and to learn about how my world doesn't actually know when you are put in that position.
That's so true. Every day.
Yeah.
Some of the things that you've done, some of the experiences you've had, are things that people will look at and go, that's remarkable. Things like climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest peak in Africa, running the Comrades Marathon, the Two Oceans Ultra Marathon. Talk to us about some of those.
So Kilimanjaro was a great idea that happened at a fly that we just kind of were chatting over a couple of drinks and thinking, like, oh, you know what would be cool to do? Like, let's go climb Kilimanjaro.
just go climb Kilimanjaro.
And, you know, it took us 4 years to actually get to the point from having that conversation at a bar to actually being on the mountain and having that experience. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily always happen, like, at the click of your fingers. It's just, like, we had to wait for the right time for that to happen. And, it is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my whole life. I was very excited to go, and I'm still so excited that I did that and that I got to do that with the people that did it with me. I learned so many things on that mountain. I grew as a person. Cried a lot, like, throw weight. You know, it was an incredible experience. And I think my being a wheelchair user doesn't necessarily make it more of a life-changing experience for me, because this is the life that I exist in every day. I think if I would have been able-bodied, I still would have seen it as a life-changing experience. I think our lessons that we learned were just a little bit different without a world. And, you know, I got to take those into, other experiences that I have had. So, you know, running the Comrades is also a very mental activity. you have to be strong in your mind to do that, and it's challenging, and you cry a lot, and, you know, these things just. Well, I think I'm a crier, and that's just. I'm an emotional person, and I'm good at it, and, like, people can just get on board, like, but I think I'm so grateful that I have had these opportunities and these experiences, but they also come from, like, a willingness of putting yourself into a space where they're not necessarily expected to be, or like the world doesn't really want you to be in those spaces because they were designed for people with disabilities. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being in spaces where I'm not necessarily wanted or expected.
I'm not certain that it's really so much about the question of being wanted, but just not considered, or as you said, not expected. I don't think that anyone designed the world to deliberately keep us out, but just often the way of design hasn't taken us into consideration.
Yeah, and you know, we also sometimes have to fight to be brought into spaces. So, you know, comrades, we had to actually fight to get in because they didn't want us to participate because it was against the rules to use a wheelchair or any mechanical device. So we had to go in there, like, strong and tell them that we're not actually allowed to say things like that.
Just for our listeners who don't know about the Comrades, it's an annual race that takes place between the cities of Durban and Pietermaritzburg in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. And it's, what, 90 kilometers?
Yeah, I think the last one was 91, I think, but I'm not sure. By the time you get there, you're like, I'm kind of... 89 to 91 kilometers, like, average.
I want to kind of look at a little more of the detail. So let's start with the Comrades, since we're on the topic.
Yeah.
How do you run the Comrades in your wheelchair?
Yeah.
What happens?
So I do not have the ability to... propel my own wheelchair. So I am what is termed an assisted wheelchair athlete. So essentially my partners will push me in my chair throughout the race. But you know, it's actually... people see that and they're like, ah, she's having such a good time and like just chilling. But like, that's really not what's happening in my body at all. I think when we start something like the Comrades or Two Oceans, there's always this idea that in the comments that we get, you can see where the advocacy needs to happen, and it happens throughout the race. So when we start, everybody is speaking to my partners and saying, good luck. And they look at me and they say things like, enjoy and have a good day. So it's a different kind of attitude that they have towards me as an athlete. In the beginning, and then we get to like 45 kilometers in, or like 60 k's in, and people are looking at me like, oh my word, this girl is still here and she's still like awake and doing things. So you know it, and then I it just takes maybe 65 k's to get the respect at the same level as my partners. But you know, it happens. We get there. And I think there's this idea that my body's not doing anything. But this is very wrong because I have to stay balanced in my chair. I have to brace against downhills and like turning and moving and navigating a wheelchair is difficult when there are like thousands of people around, and so I have to be aware so that I can tell my partners when we're getting too close to people's ankles. And you know, there's so many aspects to being an adaptive athlete that people don't understand, and they don't, because they don't see it, and you can't see the work that my body is doing. But I do marathons and then I pass out for like a day. So, you know, if I wasn't working and my body wasn't doing anything, then I would be able to do 5 comrades in a day and be fine. And I'm really not. So, you know, it's just about making those connections for people and finding ways of people coming on board. And we've seen it happen. So when we started doing the comrades in 2016, I think, people were very confused. They were like, why are you here? How is there a wheelchair in this race? I don't understand. And now we have this attitude of like, we're so happy that we get to share the road with you and that you can be a part of my experience of comrades. And so it's really a lesson in advocacy as well, in that we can make people understand. It sometimes just takes a while, and you have to keep going back to things.
Yeah.
So that people recognize that that's a standard and not just like a one-time thing that you did sometimes, you know.
Yeah. It's not
get it into the norm.
Yeah. So what you've explained about the kind of wear and tear on your body, on your mental fatigue, because you have to be constantly vigilant of what's happening around you, those must very much have been skills and techniques that came into play when you were climbing Kilimanjaro. Take us through a little bit of that journey of what actually happened. Did you actually summit? Yeah. Like, a lot of people don't.
I know we did.
Well done.
Thank you. We had a team of 9 with the cameraman. And 7 of us summited, which is a really amazing thing to have happened with having that number of people in our team. So that journey was just remarkable. We even just getting to Kilimanjaro was a feat in itself. And I think one thing about traveling with a disability is, and just living with a disability, I guess, is like we have a lot of logistics. And as disabled people, like, we're used to logistics, so that's fine. We kind of process it as another part of our day. But I think I was traveling to Kitty with, like, nobody that had traveled with me before.
Oh, wow.
I was traveling with only men, which was fine. Like, it was fine. It created some interesting, conversations. And, people who had not experienced, like, really able to travel before. And I had told them, I was like, guys, something is going to go wrong on this trip, so just get ready. Like, it's gonna happen. And they thought that I was being dramatic and like, oh, it'll be fine, Katie. And we went from Cape Town to Joburg, Joburg to Nairobi, Nairobi to Kilimanjaro Airport. And we got to Joburg and had a 2-hour delay. So we left at like 1 a.m. or something. Ooh. And that was relatively like drama-less. And then we arrived in Nairobi and we had like a 4-hour layover or something. And so they get me out the plane and the passenger assist people get me out the plane and put me in this wheelchair. It's not mine. And I was convinced that it was made in like 1812 or something. I wasn't convinced that it was going to hold my body weight, which at that point was like really a suitcase. And what my teammates decided was not a great thing to tell me at that point was that my actual wheelchair had over the conveyor belt out of the plane and fell off the conveyor belt, and the rubber around the wheel had removed itself, and they were drastically trying to put everything back together so that they could get the chair to me. I think it was a good call that nobody told me that. Because ultimately the wheelchair still worked and like it was fine. I ended up, it was just a very drama-filled trip. I did get my wheelchair, but funny things happened. Like when we got to customs in Tanzania, the man who you give your passport to, he asked me to please stand up for the biometric recognition or something. And I was like, I can't do that. And he didn't understand. And he was like, well, why? And at that point, I was like, I'm not dealing with this. Somebody else has to deal because I don't want to anymore. And it was funny because I was sitting in my electric wheelchair, like sitting in it, and then I had my mountain climbing chair like across the way from me, so there was clear evidence that I'm not a walking human. But you know, that's also the level of work that we still have to do, and that's everywhere. And I think it's funny to think about how people see other people and how that seems completely normal to ask me that for him. And I have experiences like that all the time.
We'll be continuing Kaylee's exciting adventure up Mount Kilimanjaro in the next episode of the podcast. So be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on the rest of the story. Today's travel quote is from Hans Christian Andersen, who did a fair amount of travel writing, as well as his very much beloved children's folk tales. Hans Christian Andersen said, "To travel is to live." Thanks so much for joining us in this episode of A Different Way of Traveling. We look forward to seeing you next time.
That's it from us for this time. You can find Accessible South Africa on the web at accessiblesouthafrica.co.za, on Facebook and Instagram at Accessible South Africa, and on Twitter at Accessible SA. You can also email us at podcast@accessiblesouthafrica.co.za. Editing by Craig Strachan using Hinderberg software. Our theme music is by Lu Chil Chow, based on a motif by Lloyd Strachan. Credits read by Musa Izulu. Thank you for joining us on A Different Way of Traveling. We'll see you next time. Until then, happy travels.